2 Corinthians 1:1-11. And this is the easy reading version. Greetings from Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus. I'm an apostle because that is what God wanted. Greetings also from Timothy, our brother in Christ. To God's church in Corinth and to all of God's holy people throughout Asia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise to be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Father who is full of mercy, the God of all comfort. He comforts us every time we have trouble, so that when others have trouble, we can comfort them with the same comfort God gives. We share in the many sufferings of Christ. In the same way, much comfort comes to us through Christ. If we have troubles, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is so that we can comfort you. And this helps you patiently accept the same sufferings we have. Our hope for you is strong. We know that you share in our sufferings, so we know that you also share in our comfort. Brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the trouble we suffered in Asia. We had great burdens there, which were greatly greater than our own strength. We even gave up for life. In fact, it seems like God has been telling us we are going to die, but this is so that we will not trust in ourselves, but in God, who raises people from death. He saved us from these great dangers of death, and he will continue to save us. We feel sure he will always save us, and we can help, and you can help us with your prayers. Then many people will give thanks for us that God blessed us because of their many prayers. The power of prayer.
Amen. Thanks, Merv, for bringing us that passage this morning, 2 Corinthians 1. It's great to be back up here preaching. It's always an honour, always a privilege to be bringing you God's word. And thank you to Alan last week for bringing us, kicking off the series for us with Romans 1. Moral reports did a great job. Might even get him back. Not all that good, apparently. So we look forward to hearing from Alan another time. But this morning we're in 2 Corinthians 1, as it was just read out to us. And with a new year brings new opportunities, new experiences, obviously. And some of those experiences for many of us this year may well be hard and painful. And this morning we're going to look at a key characteristic of God, and that is that he is the God of all comfort. And that's the reality of life, that some of us here, some of us are already in a difficult season. But this morning we dive into the depths of the scripture and understand what the Apostle Paul explains to us, reveals to us about this key attribute of God. To help us after the sermon, I've also, over morning tea, just printed off a couple of articles that I've found helpful that relate to this topic that you may want to take home and read as well. Two people that have been through some extremely difficult seasons in their life and what they've learned about God in and through that. So not only will you hear from me, but these two pastors as well, whose articles I've printed off as well. So make sure if you want, you can grab those from up the back. Let me pray for us as we come to this text this morning. Father God, we praise your holy name. We thank you, Lord God, that you make all things new. Your desire is to restore us, to redeem us, to reclaim us for yourself. And Father God, as we dive into the depths of this scripture this morning, may that become a reality for us, the reality that you are drawing us closer unto yourself, closer to becoming you in your image. And Father God, as we come to this text this morning, I pray that you'll give me the passion, the vigor, the desire to proclaim it faithfully so we may understand more of who you are and more of what you are doing in our midst. Father God, I pray that your spirit would move in this moment. I pray that your hand would be upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, in life there's a number of different ways that you and I experience comfort, isn't it? One definition of comfort is this. On the screen there you'll see the definition, the state of physical ease and freedom from pain or constraint. And our experience, your experience, of that source or that form of comfort will differ from person to person, doesn't it? For some people, comfort may entail putting your feet up on the chair with a hot cup of tea and a bicky in hand. Yeah, amen to that, brother. I'm with that. It's a good source of comfort. Others, it's simply watching a movie. Some of us like to sit on the beach enjoying the Australian summer, maybe with a tropical beverage in hand or two. Others of us, and for men in particular, it's taking the boat out on the lake and enjoying some peace and quiet fishing. I couldn't think of anything worse, but that's something for men. To be honest, I would reserve judgment. I haven't done it before, so it may actually be quite comfortable and peaceful. Some of us into that, that's great. Majority of us, I'm sure, enjoy that sleep in a Saturday morning. I can't do that anymore, unfortunately. I really wish I could get back and enjoy those sleep-ins as well in our comfy beds. But obviously, each and every one of us, we experience this form of comfort in differing ways. But that's not the comfort that the Apostle Paul is talking about in this passage. Paul is specifically drawing on his experiences in hardship and suffering to reveal to us the kind of comfort that we yearn for in those moments. The type of comfort that he's talking about is more in line with this second definition of comfort, which is the easing or alleviating of a person's feelings of grief or distress. This is the comfort that I believe you and I yearn for in those moments. Those moments of suffering, hardship, pain. Again, which inevitably will happen for us, some of us this year and beyond, all of us. The reality of life is that you and I will go through times that aren't pleasant. Some of you, again, may be in the midst of difficult times now. But again, my guess is that in those times, in those moments, physical comfort isn't going to cut it. Because that kind of comfort is shallow. It's a shallow form of comfort. It's what our society yearns for. That's why most people like to go to the beach on Sunday morning instead of come to church to hear God's word. But this is not the comfort that Paul is talking about. Again, he's talking, we yearn for this comfort that alleviates and eases pain in times of great grief and distress. This is the type of comfort Paul's talking about in this passage. The kind of comfort only God himself can truly give us. To understand this text a bit better, we need to understand a little bit of context, why Paul wrote this letter, why he actually wrote this letter to the church in Corinth, the church he himself established and set up. And if you didn't know, the ancient city of Corinth, it was situated in what today is modern Greece. It was part of the wider region of a place called Achaia. And in this letter, Paul is responding to the influence of Jewish opposition within the city of Corinth, within the church that was affecting. False teachers that were teaching that because of the hardships, because of the sufferings that the Apostle Paul had gone through, he couldn't be titled a true Christian or an apostle. And this is Paul's response to that accusation. That is absolute rubbish. Of course I am. And he goes on to explain why that is in this letter. The reality that Paul is saying is that as Christians, we will suffer in this life. Again, this is part and parcel of living on this side of eternity. But what we must realise, and what Paul is at pains to emphasise, is that even though we go through hardship and suffering, it doesn't make us any less of a Christian. I think some of us need to be released from that caricature of God this morning. Like God's there with a disciplinary rod ready to whack us when we get out of line. We need to be released from that this morning. Because that's not the God that we serve. He actually does discipline us, but it's out of love, compassion, and his mercy. The fact is that God does love humanity so much so that when we do go through hardships and suffering, his desire is to come alongside us in that, to comfort us, to encourage us. There is life beyond this life. Ultimately, what Apostle Paul is saying in this chapter is that there is a deeper level of comfort reserved for each and every one of those who put their whole entire trust and faith in Jesus Christ. And in this passage, I think and I believe that Paul describes to us three key characteristics three key aspects of this comfort that we need to grapple with this morning. The first is this. This comfort that Paul is talking about is hope inspired. It is a hope inspired peace. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God." This comfort that Paul is talking about is a gift. It's received. It's a received gift, a gift that we received. And it is a gift from God himself, because he is a God who is compassionate, merciful, and loving. Throughout the Bible, throughout the context of the Bible, we see this aspect and this nature of God proclaimed to us. One of those passages is Psalm 145, which says, "The Lord is gracious and merciful. He is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made." Again, he's not a God there waiting for us to step out of line to hit us and discipline us. That's not the God we serve. He's a loving God, a merciful God, and he comes alongside us in our pain. This is how Paul understands God to be. That's who Paul believes God is. And this is what leads him to start his letter with a prayer of thanksgiving. A prayer of thanksgiving to God, the God of our Father, Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort. When we scan our eyes over the Bible, in particular the Old Testament, when we see the word comfort is used as it's generally spoken of as God's deliverance of his people. And so this word comfort that God provides, it takes two forms. First of all, encouragement during affliction, during hardship, during pain. And then second of all, deliverance out of affliction, suffering, and pain. We only have to look to the nation of Israel when they're in exile. Throughout their exile experience, God was there, encouraging them, giving them seeds of hope, and then eventually delivering them from exile. The affliction we experience in this life, the sufferings, the hardships that you and I experience in this life, is ultimately a result of the sin and the brokenness that engulfs our world. The question often arises, why do we suffer? Why do we have to go through pain? The easy answer to that is because of the world in which we live. It's a sinful, broken world. I can't answer the question why there's more things happen or more difficult hardships happen to other people than others. I can't answer that. Only God can answer that. But the general answer to the question why is there suffering and pain in the beginning is because we as humanity chose to reject God and choose ourselves over him. That's what makes God's mercy and compassion all the more amazing. But even though you and I rejected him, wanted nothing to do with him, God didn't choose to reject us. Instead, he came after us, and he provided us with hope. Hope in this world. He chose to shower us with love and compassion, the God who comforts us in our troubles. What exactly does this hope look like today, you might be asking? What does this hope look like today in 21st century Australia society? That hope is that right there, the cross of Jesus Christ. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:20-23, "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of all of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all have been made alive." The resurrection is the completeness of our hope. A hope that we will no longer suffer. We will no longer experience hardship. But we will one day enter into eternity. A place free of sin, free of suffering, free of hardship. That is our hope to help us persevere on this side of eternity. But the important thing we must realize this morning, and again, something that Paul is at pains to emphasize to the church in Corinth, that this passage, this comfort, doesn't entail that those who follow Jesus will be free of suffering, free of hardship. Rather, what this comfort does, again, it gives us a hope of a time and a place where we, you and I, will never, ever have to experience hardship or suffering ever again. A time and place where everything will be made new and perfected once more. Not only that, but he has also given us a personal trainer to come alongside us, to encourage us. And that personal trainer is the Holy Spirit himself who lives within us. What is interesting about the Holy Spirit, if we look at his name in the ancient text, his role and responsibilities is in his actual name, the Paraclete. That's the name for the Holy Spirit in the ancient text. And it's translated as this: comforter, encourager, advocate. We have a comforter, encourager, and advocate right there with us, within us, guiding us, leading us. Again, just like a personal trainer who comes alongside us to help us push out that next rep, to help us to persevere, to encourage us to keep on going, keep on pressing on. That's the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. For those who want to be a part of that, I think that's awesome. It is through his word and the Holy Spirit that God plants little seeds of hope in our life to get us through the hardship and sufferings in this life, to help us persevere through all that life throws at us. Whether that's simply a passage from Scripture that speaks into our hearts, into that specific situation, or the Holy Spirit prompting a good friend or a fellow believer to give you a call and say, "I'm praying for you. I'm there for you." These are little seeds of hope that God plants in our life to help us realize the fuller hope that is available to us. And I reckon Paul should know this, don't you reckon? The Apostle Paul. Have a look at what he's gone through in life. 2 Corinthians 11, later on, said verse 24 to 28. Paul talks a little bit about what he has endured in this side of eternity. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews, the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and day I was drifted at sea. On frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers. In toil and hardship, through my sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure, and apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. I want to see someone who's passionate about Jesus Christ. This is it. Through all that, he just keeps on keeping on. I don't think there's anyone more equipped, more qualified to speak to us about what hardship is on this side of eternity and the comfort we receive from God than the Apostle Paul. Don't you think? And what I find interesting by this is that because he was so passionate, I find that when we're passionate about Jesus, the more we desire to further his kingdom, the more opposition we'll come up against. The more obstacles we'll have to overcome because we have an enemy who doesn't want us to do that. So he's going to continually throw things in our way. That's just one example of a man who was devoted to the cause of Jesus Christ. And he came up against obstacle after obstacle. But as we read throughout his epistles, throughout the New Testament, what do we see God do? Plant little seeds of hope in his life. Keep on keeping on. Press on. It'll be worth it. Little seeds of hope. And this morning, I believe, obviously, that God is at work in our church. He's at work in your life. He's at work in my life. And I could stand here and tell you again about how God's planted little seeds of hope in my life, but I want us to encourage one another this morning. I know the Spirit wants to speak, not just through me, but through each and every one of us. And so I want to open it up to you guys, just to share a little bit of your testimony, a little bit of your story, of where you may have endured hardship or suffering or whatever it may be, financial troubles, family situations. Just very briefly, 1-2 minutes max. Let's talk a little bit about what that situation was. If you're comfortable, don't have to go into specifics, and just how God has blessed you or planted a little seed of hope in your life. I do have stories up my up my sleeve if this doesn't work, but I believe God wants to move in this moment. So feel free, just where you are. Thanks, Mervat. Well, again, from those two stories, we can see from the outset how much God loves us, how much He comes alongside us, desires to be there for us in our greatest need. Again, His comfort is there for all of those who call on His name. Life can seem arduous sometimes, can feel long. But in these times I've found in my life that God refines us, matures us, builds our character. Again, whatever that case may be, financial hardship, family difficulties, whatever it is, He's obviously, we need to turn to Him and put our trust in Him to help us, deliver us through those difficult seasons of life. But we also need the encouragement, the support of one another as well. And that's the Apostle Paul's next point. 2 Corinthians 1, 5-7 says, "For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ." In verse 7, "And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort." Not only is comfort hope-inspired peace, but it is a shared hope, a shared comfort. Basically, what the Apostle Paul is saying here is that we as brothers and sisters in Christ, we are all one, together under the banner of Christ, and we need to be there for one another, to support one another in our hardships. As Paul states in verse 5, this comfort that we have received, this amazing news of Jesus Christ, His death and His resurrection, needs to overflow from our life into one another. And not only that, but into the lives of those who don't know Christ. They need Christ, they don't know Him. The hope we have in Jesus is a shared hope, it is a shared comfort. And I think there's no better example within God's creation of a community of creatures doing life together than ducks. I love ducks. You know why I love ducks? Because they do life together. Ever seen ducks fly in that formation? It's a beautiful sight. I often drive past and I look out my window, obviously cautiously, seeing the ducks fly. It's a beautiful, beautiful sight. Do you know that because they do this, they are able to achieve unimaginable things more than any other animal? When they fly in formation, the lead duck, when it gets tired, when it gets exhausted, it'll go back to the back of the formation. Another duck will take its place. They can fly up to 71% further because they fly together. How cool is that? Is there no greater illustration than for Christ's church than this? And the amazing thing is that not only ducks were created this way, but humanity was created this way as well. We weren't meant to do life in isolation. We're meant to do life together in community. Come alongside those who are hurting and suffering. You know, I find in my life that, especially in our marriage with Kel and I, that God is so gracious and loving that when one of us is down, the other one's normally okay, and vice versa. It's just God's graciousness, I think. Back when I was playing basketball, part of our training was running sprints, in particular, in the preseason. This was tough. Sometimes our coaches, if we didn't reach the 10th sprint at a particular time, we'd have to do the whole 10 again. Sometimes we took half the training practice running sprints. And I'll tell you what, I was so thankful that I had a group of 10 teammates spurring one another on to get to the end in time than having to motivate yourself. It was so much better. And yes, it produced in us endurance for the season ahead. And this is what hardship and suffering does. God's comfort produces in us patient endurance as we wait to take steps into eternity. We as a church in 2018 and beyond, we need to be working together as one, coming alongside one another, sharing with one another in our comforts, praying for one another. Again, there's a missional element to it too. Again, we are to share a testimony of God's love into the community. But this is our great hope, this is our comfort, and the incredible thing is that it is a guaranteed hope. It's a secure hope, and that's the Apostle Paul's last point in verses 9 to 10. "Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, He who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope, that he will continue to deliver us. Why is the Apostle Paul's faith so strong? Because throughout his life, he's realized that God has not failed him even once. What about you? What about me? I know in my life, as I look back on my life, even though I may have asked questions of God, why are you letting me go through this? As Madge pointed out, he never fails us and knows that. He never, ever fails us. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." And 2 Corinthians 1:11, it finishes with, "On him we have set our hope, that he will continue to deliver us. As you help us by your prayers, then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favour granted us in answer to the prayers of many." Again, the Apostle Paul emphasises the power and the importance of prayer for one another. Life is a long journey. It is not a 100-metre sprint. If a person was to train for a marathon or triathlon, I think life is like a triathlon. There's many obstacles we have to overcome, isn't there? If a person was to train for a triathlon, but they would a 100-metre sprint, they're going to get a rude shock when they get to the starting line, aren't they? 100 metres, boom, I'm done. Oh wait, there's all this ready to go. We need to, I believe, look at our hardships and our sufferings in this way, our trials. View them as a kind of personal training session, preparing us for what is to come in eternity. And then we will see the lessons that we've learned in this life come to fruition in eternity, and only then. The training is hard, it is difficult at times, but it will be worth it. That is our guaranteed and secure hope. And the amazing thing again is we're not alone. God is with us in and through our hardships, our sufferings, our trials into 2018 and beyond. Whatever you're going through today, again, financial hardship, loss of a loved one, sickness, whatever it may be, we need to trust God. Don't put your comfort and your trust in the world. It will fail you. Put your trust and your hope in God and God alone. For he is a source of all comfort, all peace. First of all, comfort is a hope, is hope inspired, is a hope inspired peace. The reality that we've been reconciled to God through the loving life, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Second of all, it is a shared hope. We are in it together, just like the ducks. We have to do life together. And thirdly, comfort is a secure hope. It is a guaranteed hope. We can trust it. We can believe in it. He will not fail us. Let me pray for us. Father God, thank you again for this word. Thank you again that you are at work in our midst. We thank you, Lord, that you do not leave us to suffer in the pain and the hardship of life alone, but you desire to come alongside us. Come alongside us to teach us, to mold us, to build us. And I pray for each and every one of my brothers and sisters this morning that whatever they may be going through, whatever this year entails, I pray it's a year of blessing. But help us, Lord, even if we do go through hardship and trials this year, to consider it a blessing, to learn what you are trying to teach us. Bless us, we ask, as we go into 2018. May we set our sights to you, the author and perfecter of our faith. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.